This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's happening? Coming to you live for a Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Week three coming to a wrap tonight. So either the Steelers' dysfunction will be on the big stage for the entire football world to see, or maybe they resolve a couple of things. Fitzmagic.
Mm-hmm.
Does that keep going? Is that somewhat derailed here? I don't know, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll get to that before we get out of here. Full hour, lots to do. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, including Teak, Le'Veon Bell stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
For so long, they weren't going to trade him. We were trying to figure out in the break whether or not, because he's been franchised 2 years in a row, we know he can't be franchised again. At least, maybe he can. I don't know if he can or not. But it would be ridiculously punitive. Can he go franchise transition, or does he just become a free agent? And if he becomes a free agent, I mean, the Jets are, whoever it may be, because the Jets are rumored to be inquiring about a trade with Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
They have no reassurance that he signs. So you get him basically for, you know, three quarters of the season,
mm-hmm,
which may or may not be worth it.
I don't know that you can structure it. There's so much minutiae here. I'm not sure that you can structure a deal. Like, say, whether it's the Jets, I know that the Niners have reached out, the Texans maybe. Because you have to look at it this way. The Colts, Jets, Niners, Texans, Browns, Jags, Titans, and Dallas.
Yep.
Those are the teams right now with at least $12 million in cap space, which would be able to absorb what remains of his contract.
Yep, $11.5 or so million left.
Yes. Next year's a different story. That's full throttle cap space. But I don't know if you're able to structure a deal. Let's say the Texans and the Steelers made a trade for Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it in a way that if Bell resigns with the Texans,
because they can't negotiate it.
I know. I don't mean immediately. I mean,
I see.
So that then at the back end, the Steelers say if the brand. Okay, say if the Texans give up a sixth round pick, which is very poor, but probably going to be better than that. But say a fifth round pick,
the
right?
Steelers shouldn't
that makes
take
no
that
sense.
Deal.
That's true. Conversation over.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's say a third round pick.
Yeah.
All right, and Le'Veon Bell goes to the Texans, and they pay his freight the rest of the way.
Yep.
Then they negotiate a deal in the offseason. If they consummate a long-term deal in Houston between Bell and the Texans, can that third rounder trigger up to maybe a second? Or
so
I don't know contractually
contingent.
If you could agree upon that within the framework of a deal.
Yeah.
I would be almost, yeah, without precedent.
The NFL
I don't know.
CBA is so different than some of these other ones that allow things like that to happen. Like, in Major League Baseball, that can happen.
Yeah,
basketball, I think so as well, but not. I don't think so in the NFL. It's all like hard cap numbers that happen in the real time. So it makes it tough. It's interesting to talk about a Le'Veon Bell trade. I just don't know how it logistically happens.
Okay, we'll get back to this. But you ready for a little inbounds and out of bounds, Mr. Balba?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go, buddy. So, through the first couple of weeks of the season, the Cards offense ranked last, dead last. I saw 6 points in the first couple of the games. By a pretty wide margin, they were dead last. Sam Bradford hadn't thrown a touchdown. And was averaging just 122 yards per game in the first quarter. The Cardinals jumped out to the 14-0 lead with Bradford throwing two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Cards were shut out the rest of the way, and it got ugly. So head coach Wilkes turned to Josh Rosen.
I felt like we needed a spark. Again, we got out to an early start, 14 points, got a little stagnant there, and wanted to try to spark the team. And that's the reason why I made that decision. We're going to evaluate Josh as well as Sam. And we're going to watch the tape. And we'll see exactly what I want to do for us moving forward with that.
All right. Well, the tape was watched, and Wilkes has made his decision. Let's face it, watching the way Bradford played yesterday and really the whole season, there was no decision to make.
Give me my paycheck.
$20 million
Exactly.
This guy made a lot of money for not doing a whole lot. Yeah. Wilkes has named Josh Rosen the starter. So, in or out, he should be the starting quarterback in week four.
Yeah, I think at this point, this is in bounds for me. At this point, I mean, Sam Bradford's not giving you anything. And even when he was giving you something, it was like he was playing so conservative that it was pointless. 3.98 yards per attempt. That's just bad. And it got worse at the end of this game after leading two touchdown drives, two interceptions, and a fumble. This Cardinals team is not competing in the West. They need to get Josh Rosen ready to be the man going forward.
I'm with you. Inbounds. And he looked pretty smooth. I mean, obviously, you know, he threw the pick six that was negated, which would have changed the entire spread.
Yeah.
The winning spread dynamic.
I'd be 4-2 this week in my six pack, and BT would be 3-3.
That is true. Alas, it's the other way around.
Yes,
so that
is.
Benefited. Thank God that was wiped off the board. The answer is inbounds, though, because listen, if you turn to him out of desperation, now they said this during the telecast, that he was getting some reps with the ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he was thrust in there and he wasn't prepared. He's obviously a smart young man. We've talked about that the entire draft process, how intelligent he is. He spins the ball as well as anybody coming out of college last year, maybe the best. If you're going to turn to him out of desperation, you owe it to him to now hand him the reins with a full week of, you know, not partial reps with the ones, but a full week. He's the guy. That's why you drafted him. Bradford's a Band-Aid, granted, an expensive one. It's Josh Rosen time.
I agree.
And that's the right call.
Are you in or are you out?
Think about this. The Seattle Seahawks and their safety Earl Thomas, he's let it be known that he wants a long-term deal from the Seahawks, going as far as saying that he wanted to be traded to the Dallas Cowboys last season. Remember that? And provide himself with a little leverage. So Thomas ended his holdout before the season. We know that. Posted on social media, quote, that the disrespect won't be forgotten. Now Thomas skipped two practices this week, and he's not apologizing for it.
I need to make sure my body is, 100, and I'm investing in myself. Now, if they was investing in me, I'll be out there practicing. But if I feel like anything, I don't give a damn if it's small. I got a headache. I'm not practicing.
All right, this is definitely going to rub some people the wrong way. Man, I can only imagine. In or out, we will see more players try and preserve their bodies because they're unhappy with their current contracts.
I'm going to say out of bounds. And now it's kind of, this is a tricky one, because if this works with Le'Veon Bell and he gets a big contract somewhere, or this works with Earl Thomas and he gets a big contract somewhere, guys might do this. But I don't see it happening for Earl Thomas. We remember that just this offseason, BT, there was three or four big, I'll use that word relatively, free agent safeties on the market. Got no sniffs, man.
No love.
It's difficult for safeties in the National Football League to hit it big in free agency. Earl Thomas is a free agent after this season, so there's no incentive for anyone to trade for him, and there's no reason that the Seattle Seahawks would give him a bigger deal because he's at the end of his deal. And so I'm going to say out of bounds because I don't think that either one of these respective situations, Le'Veon or Earl Thomas, is going to have their desired effect.
Okay, I'm going to disagree and say inbounds here and really hope that I'm wrong, because this would not be good for the sport.
No.
In terms of the way that, the just residually for the fan bases, this would be really tough for a lot of people to digest. While the players have a lot to complain about the way their contracts are set up, we all know that, we've talked about it a million times, fans don't want to read and they don't want to hear those quotes that Earl Thomas has dropped.
I agree.
If I have a headache, I'm not going to practice. Preserve my body. Again, there's a reality to it, but it's just fans don't want to hear that. I think it's inbounds because first we have Le'Veon Bell. All right. Now we have, and I hear you on the free agency, so it's not a smart move, or it's not going to work for Thomas.
Yeah.
But I do think that you'll have guys like Julio Jones. Say the Falcons didn't reward him and rework his contract.
Yeah.
I think it'll be more, not Julio specific, but players who have 2 or 3 years to go on their deal who don't like it. And now they'll say, hey, listen, they'll try to almost force the hands of the teams. Hey, you don't want to rework my deal? I'm not practicing this week.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. I'm not showing up.
You're right.
And I believe, sadly, this isn't the 80s or the 90s where the teammates would be like, oh, this is a team. That's not how we operate. They understand how unfair the contract setup is.
They side with the player.
They're not going to challenge their, although Le'Veon Bell got challenged, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but that's,
for the most part, they understand
a little bit different. That's a little bit different. You're right. They understand it, and they realize I'm not messing with someone else's money.
Yep. So this is a situation that hopefully gets rectified in the new CBA, because this would be terrible for the sport.
Are you in or are you out?
College football, Stanford Cardinal. Give it
Stanford.
Up. They're good.
They are pretty
Shaw's
good.
Great. He's a heck of a coach.
They had no business winning that game.
No. And by the way, Herbert is.
Oh, he's so good.
If he was coming out last year, or if he came out last year, or I should say maybe if all the guys who came out last year were coming out this year, Herbert might go first overall.
He's big. He's
6'5".
He's athletic.
Incredibly
as hell,
fast.
He runs like a
rocket.
He runs like a tight end, dude.
Got a rocket.
And he's got a cannon.
Yeah, he does. All right, so here's the deal. The Stanford Cardinal, we say that because the Cardinal beat Oregon over the weekend. Now, they're 4-0. They beat San Diego State, who's a solid program. USC, big rivalry. Now Oregon. And the Ducks' second-half collapse included an overturned touchdown and a mismanaged game clock late in the fourth. That was crazy.
That was.
Stanford 7th in the nation, and with a battle against number 8 Notre Dame coming up this week, a chance to, make some more prominence, gain some more headlines here. In or out. If Stanford wins out, I know that's a long ways down the road, but if they do, they should be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, the reason this is a pertinent
talking
question
about
is
that
because
already
the Pac-12 the Pac-12 is always disrespected. Remember last year it was a conversation. I think it was – who was it? It was USC? No, it was Washington. Whether or not they should be in it. And because of the perceived lack of challengers in the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's the fourth best conference.
Exactly.
Usually.
They get overlooked. They're going to be the odd man out in the group of five, or I think the Power Five. There's only four conferences that are going to make it, especially if two from one make it. The Pac-12 seems to get left out. I'm going to say inbounds with this one because Stanford has played a tough schedule. They will continue to play a tough schedule with Notre Dame and they have a star. Right? They have someone to champion and talk about, which is important when you're trying to get the attention of the voters here.
See, I don't think that last point matters as much. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's about marquee, recognition or
when the College Football Playoff Selection Committee looks at teams,
you're
not thinking about the best match.
You know
best TV matchup also?
I can't
believe that it doesn't seep into their head.
Well, the best TV matchup is not necessarily the same as what you said about having that main marquee player. Like, the best TV matchup could be a regional thing where maybe a better player's on a different team.
Yeah, so if Sanford goes undefeated...
I still don't believe
And you have Bryce Love, who's probably not going to win the Heisman because he took a week off last week, but you know what I mean.
He was quiet when he played the first early,
But he's a stud, and he's a star, and he's smart, and he's got to play, someone in the Midwest or in the SEC. I think it's an interesting matchup.
It is.
If they're undefeated.
I just don't know that it influences their final decision. You got to remember, they're more about the minutia, and I think that would probably be more pressing.
Aesthetic,
surface, people who, that's their world, where that's all they do. But by the way, my answer is still inbounds, where if they were to beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is good. Notre Dame is not just ranked because they're Notre Dame, let's give them a nice little number front of their name. Notre Dame's pretty good this year. But the answer is inbounds, because if they do win out, that would mean that they win at Arizona State, competitive game, competitive team with Herm. Herm's doing a pretty good job. At 11th rated Washington, and at Cal right now, who's inside the top 25. So they'll have enough time to leverage the rest of their season to get into the Final Four spots. If they win out, I believe the answer is inbounds. I agree.
Yep.
Are you in or are you
Final
out?
One, take a little hoops. NBA Raptors forward Kawhi Leonard met with the Toronto media for the first time. Didn't give those in attendance a whole lot to work with, keeping his answers rather bland and rather monotone, except, for that bellowing laugh.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. It's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
No offense to Kawhi and no offense to anybody, but that's like, if you ever were on a date and you heard that laugh, check, please. Gotta go. That is not a laugh I would want to hear
that
very often.
Just the end.
What was that? Can you do it, D-Cell? Wow. All right.
I hate to laugh at my man's laugh, but
good God. At least he's laughing. Some people never laugh. So I'd rather have a bad laugh than no laugh, I guess. Still wouldn't want to hear it every day. In or out, Kawhi's lack of personality will prevent him from becoming an NBA superstar.
Out of bounds, man. He's a superstar. He's a defensive player of the year. He's going to compete for the MVP when he finally gets to wherever he wants to play. And he actually feels like playing.
Yeah.
You don't need the personality. It helps. But you don't need it. If you're a baller, people know and recognize it.
I agree with this one here. I think a lot of people would actually disagree with this, but I'm going to say out of bounds, too. I don't think it's going to... Well, it hasn't presented...
No.
Listen, he's paid like a superstar.
No doubt.
He's acknowledged as a superstar in terms of voting,
yep.
And what else do you need? I mean, yeah, is he going to be in the middle of a commercial? You know, I probably not, but...
Unless he's laughing uncontrollably.
Unless he's laughing. He's gonna be like, oh, man. You know who's having the last laugh?
Him.
Because he doesn't have to waste time with reporters. And, he just shows up in bowls because he's so boring nobody deals with.
And his accountant is laughing.
Yeah, he's a full-fledged superstar. He's one of the top five players in the NBA. And really, before the most recent injury, he was probably top three.
Agreed.
I want to see him regain that, make sure he still has that burst. But, no, he's absolute superstar.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
What a great but very awkward drop.
Yeah, let's make that a drop. Let's just always keep that in the tank there. You know, we'll play that when, like, one of us says something and we give the other one, like, a mercy laugh. Like, it really, we all know it wasn't funny, but because we're partners and...
There you go.
You know, it's letting everybody know we're laughing because we kind of have to laugh, even though it wasn't particularly funny. All right, Chris Gronkowski, Rob's brother, played in the NFL as well, former fullback. Hey, you see what Gronk said? I mean, he was fully transparent. He said, Brady's my quarterback, and I ain't going to Detroit unless he's coming with me.
You're right.
So we'll talk to Chris about the Pats and, you know, what happened last night and try to get some thoughts on the relationship between certainly Gronk and Belichick, but also Brady and Belichick and all the issues or whatever issues are facing the Pats right now. We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you use your hard-earned money to buy stuff, you want to get as much out of it as humanly possible. The professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts understand that kind of thinking. Not only do they have their famous O'Rewards program, but now it's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For a limited time, you can get double points on 250 items throughout the store. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll find double point offers on appearance items, oil specials, and more. You can get what you want, save money, and get double points. You'd have to be crazy to turn down double points. If you're not an O'Rewards member yet, head to your nearby O'Reilly Auto Parts and sign up. Signing up is easy, and once you're a member, you'll start receiving reward points for getting what you want and double points during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget to check out O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com, 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Coming up, we got the blast here on Tiki and Tierney. We'll do that coming up after this segment. Also, finish up some thoughts on the game tonight. The Bucks are rolling. The Steelers are bleeding a little bit, leaking oil. See if they can get things right. Monday night matchup down in Tampa, going to be fun. Batik, now we're joined by Chris Gronkowski. Yep, that Gronkowski, former NFL fullback and brother of Rob. What's up, Chris? How are you today, man? What's going on?
What's up?
I'm already telling it's going to be fun. What's going on, dude?
I'm telling you, man.
Man, it's Monday.
It's
not working.
It's post-Sunday Monday, right? How often do you talk to your brother?
Not much during the season.
Yeah.
But I let him be. I know his phone's lighting up all day, so... He's actually to the point where he doesn't even take phone calls anymore, and his phone broke, and he decided not to fix it.
What?
So,
So he's in it. Well, your whole family is interesting. You look at your great grandfather. I'm just looking at your Wikipedia page. It has all these things about you and your family, and the quirks, I guess, is the best way to put it. Where do those come from? And are they fostered in your family? I guess is really the question I want to ask.
So which quirks, man? What are you talking about here?
Your brother is – I mean, you own an ice shaker company.
You know what I mean?
It's like you do these crazy things. Your brother's dancing. Your dad, your grandfather was on the cycling team, U.S. Olympic cycling team, by the way. I mean, there's just all these weird things that happen in the Gronkowski family. Where does that all come from?
Man, we're always just working hard, thinking of new ideas, and just trying to have fun, man. Live life to the fullest.
I love it. You know, not enough people do that.
Yeah,
and,
agreed.
You know, it's easy to say that, by the way, Chris, when you've had success here. But this is staples, and these are virtues that have been passed on. You know, when you guys were 6, 7 years old, I mean, it was about hard work and rolling up your sleeves, and you guys be probably beating the crap out of each other, jumping off sofas, doing Jimmy Snookers, and I could just imagine. What was it? Just take us into the 1980s, late 80s. Like, what was it like, man?
That was exactly what you just described. That's exactly how it was. So I love telling this because we literally had we had nothing in our house besides a couch in our family room because everything else was ruined and broken.
It.
And it was just all-out brawls all day, every day. I mean, the day didn't end until we had a fight, and it was over anything. If you won, you got in a fight. If you lost, you got in a fight. I mean, it was just all-out. It was mayhem. I don't know what my parents were thinking, wanting to have more kids after just the first three.
Well, by the way, Chris, you know, don't think this is the wrong way, but maybe they didn't want to have more kids after three.
I think my mom kept going for the girl, and it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I hear you. Chris Gronkowski is with us here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. I know you watched the game last night.
Oh,
listen,
yeah.
We've seen – I've said – one thing I've said about the Pats, and I know that you probably agree with this, September is generally a laboratory for experiment. Anytime with Belichick, anytime we get too wrapped up in one September loss or two September defeats, we're usually proven to be wrong because they always find a way to win the 12 or 13 games and maybe sometimes win championships. Last night looked a little different. It felt a little different. All the relationship – issues that are thrown out there, written about. It just feels like this year feels different. Is it different?
Man, that's the same thing they said a couple years ago.
I hear you. Go ahead.
The Chiefs, and I was at the game actually, and it felt the same to me. I was in Kansas City, went to the game, they got blown out, and it felt. I know Brady was saying the talent wasn't there, and kind of felt the same way. Everyone was saying he was done, and they bounced back, and they're going to win. They're going to figure it out, and they're already bringing in players. They're going to get Edelman back, and they're going to be a top-caliber team in a couple weeks, just like they always are.
Yeah, no, it always seems that they find a way, and I think that's a testament to their coaching staff. I mean, obviously, Bill Belichick, but everyone. Matt Patricia's not there anymore, but when he was there, he would get these guys straight. Offensive coordinator would get everything in order, and Tom Brady would get it in order. What does your brother say about Tom as that leader? Because we make assumptions about who we think he is, but who is he really, especially in that locker room?
And he's Rob doesn't talk much about him. My younger brother was actually there as well for their last Super Bowl run. And, I mean, he says it's incredible. He tells me, you know, he was shocked when he first got there that Brady would be so excited to go to a walkthrough.
Jeez.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me. But day in, day out, every day, he's excited to be on the field, which is just insane. And it's not fake. I mean, it's the real deal. He really wants to be there. He's super excited to be on that field. And, I mean, that competitive nature, you can't teach that. I mean, that's crazy. But especially that deep into a career, I mean, just playing myself for 4 years, it's hard, man. It's hard to wake up every day and take those hits and really just get screamed at and yelled at and be under the microscope. And for him to go out there every day with that passion, it's incredible. He's an incredible leader.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he's amazing. He's one of the all-time icons of all the sport here. We're talking to Chris Gronkowski. It's funny, you talk about being yelled at and being screamed at, and that's the life of a football player. I know it's changed a little bit. The modern athlete is wired a little differently. But the thing that I guess if I could get like one – if I could inject Tom or even your brother with truth serum and get the answer to one question, I think this would be the question.
Oh, man.
I mean this, and there's a million questions that I would really want answered, but I think if I was your brother or if I was Tom, it would bother me that my head coach repeatedly fails to give me any sort of public praise. Not that I'm begging for it, not that I even need it, but once in a while, show some appreciation for what I do, because if I don't do what I do, you're not winning 5 championships, you know?
Absolutely.
Does that bother you, brother?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough love. And I've been in those situations as well with coaches that are old school, and that's how they coach. And the thing is that they win. And so you can't argue it because you're winning games. And at the end of the day, it's a mental grind. It does beat you down. And, you know, every once in a while, it would be nice to say, you know, great job. But at the same time, you don't want to get complacent. You don't want a guy to then think he can slack off a little bit. So I understand where they're coming from. And when you're winning, you're winning. So why change your ways?
I hear you. Chris, does everybody call you Gronk, or is that only your brother?
That's only my brother. When they first started, I would have friends saying, hey, how's Gronk doing? I'm like, you talking about Rob?
And now there's a bunch of us now.
To the point now where I'm just starting to say it myself.
Yeah. All right. Well, I asked that because you and your brother Glenn have a Gronk Cask podcast that's on GetMoreSports.com. What do you guys talk about?
Everything. A lot of stories growing up, just how we were raised, childhood, party stories. We had Mojo Rawley on last week, who was a WWE superstar now. I played with him in college. We kind of went through the journey with him becoming this WWE wrestler. And so it's just cool to hear him tell his story, even though we lived it with him.
Yeah.
Bring him on. And he's really one of our hype men. He's at all our parties. And yeah, just really behind the scenes NFL talk.
You have your own hype man?
Oh, he is the number one hype man. If you haven't seen his videos yet or hung out with him.
I haven't. I got to go find these.
Yeah, you'll know in the first 5 minutes that you meet him that he's the hype man.
Chris, let me ask you this. Taking the Pats out of it, obviously you played 3 years in the NFL. If you could, what team do you view as the most interesting team right now? And interesting, you could take that a couple of different directions. But if you had to sit down and watch one team, who do you enjoy watching and why? What would that team be?
I've been locked into the Browns, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
The storylines behind them. I didn't watch Hard Knocks or anything like that.
It was good this year, Chris. It was really good.
Yeah, I completely missed that. So I wasn't just joining because of that hype. I thought they were going to be overhyped because of the show, actually. A lot of times teams come off of Hard Knocks and they get all this praise because they make them look good, and they come out and, you know, they don't play that great. But we followed Baker Mayfield in the preseason. He came out, he looked amazing. He came into that game, and you know, when we saw him come into that game, we were jumping all over those second half lines, actually. it was impressive what he did in quick release. And so really, I think they've been the most exciting team to watch this year.
Yeah, right. And then Hard Knocks made them even more so, because you got to dig into the personalities of some of the coaches and the dynamics between the coaches, et cetera. We only have about less than a minute here, Chris, but we have to ask you, Rob kind of talked about retiring. How much longer do you think he has left to play this game?
Man, it's hard to tell. If he stays healthy, has a great year, he's having fun, I mean, he's going to keep on playing.
Yeah.
He's in his prime. It's so hard to walk away when you're feeling that good and you're playing that well. So I can't see him leaving when he's in his prime. It's just too much to give up. It's too much pride. Even when you know you're better than everyone else on the field, it's so hard to just walk away from the game. So I think he's going to be in his prime for at least 3 or 4 more years. So we'll see what happens. If he's not enjoying it anymore, if he's not mentally there anymore, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough game. And I know just after 4 seasons, it was a beatdown. And I could see why guys walk away from the game.
No, it definitely does. Maybe you guys as a family will get an offer from the WWE.
Oh, man.
That would be awesome.
I can see it.
I'm not joking either.
Would you want to be a heel or a babyface?
Man, we'd have to be the heels. Come out and just whoop some people and get out of there. But that's WWE's just as hard. I mean, those guys are traveling and they're on the road schedules. To be actually on the tour, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's tough living as well. So I don't expect Rob to ever end up there, but I think he might do a couple appearances like he did with Mojo, actually, and that one pay-per-view. But there's no way that he could ever go from the NFL to being on tour with the WWE. There's no chance it's happening.
No, Chris, by the way, the script is already written, man. What, you don't know this, but the Gronkowskis are actually old descendants of the Putski family, of the old Ivan Putski. So you're all from Poland, so you're like fifth cousins with Ivan Putski. And now, because he's been retired,
he's been out of the scene
for a long time, and now the Gronkowski's come
on
the
scene. But now
you're testing Chris's,
now you're testing Chris's knowledge of man, old WWF, man. I don't even know them.
You've heard of Ivan Putski, right, Chris?
I feel like I have, but I couldn't tell you who he was.
Here's what he was. He was a jacked, crazy Polish guy who for the most part, was a babyface, if not entirely, well-loved by the fans, came up really came up when you think about the immigrants who hit, whether it's the Polish or the Irish or the Jewish, coming in the 50s in New York. He was actually a well-loved wrestler. I think it could be a good storyline for you. I'll send it over to McMahon, see if he bites, all right?
I like it.
All right, Chris, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you, Chris.
All right, buddy. There you go. How does nobody know Ivan Putski?
I have never heard of that.
Well, I know that. Yeah, that's I hear.
Wait,
that.
They're like 60s? Come on, dude.
No. Ivan Putski was he may have been. I think he was around in the 70s. Yeah. I remember him in the 80s.
Gotcha.
I don't remember, but he had to be around in the 70s because he didn't make it to the 90s, and he had a pretty distinguished lengthy career.
Wasn't, he wasn't like a 5-year and done guy.
No. Ivan Putski, and he was jacked, dude. Just look at a picture during the break. Ivan Putski was short, and he was stout, and he was strong. All right, so let's get the update from Jay Berman. We've got that coming up. After that, the Blast, a little Bucks and Steelers preview tonight. It'll be a fun Monday night game and a revealing one as well. We'll get to that after Jay's update. Here's Jay.
Biggie, biggie, biggie.
All right, Teak, what's happening? Welcome back. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So today's question, let's see what's cooking. We got a bunch of good ones here. This one's from Jake Keenan at Noel T. Jake, can the Jaguars ever trust Bortles when they hold Tennessee to 9 points at home and still can't score a touchdown? Big step back for the Jaguars yesterday. Mariota couldn't throw the football
at all.
That's a bad loss.
Gabbert goes down early. You're stuck with a backup who can't throw, and you still can't find a way to win. Remember
that
we talked about all off season, but leading into this year, after weeks one and two, how Nathaniel Hackett had come to trust Blake Bortles.
Yeah, sure.
I'm doubting that a little bit.
Well,
right
already?
Now.
Wow. Yeah.
BT, all you got to do is put the ball downfield a couple of times.
I hear you.
Now, in his defense, his receivers were tuned out. Drop passes, all kinds of bad things were happening for Jacksonville. You're afforded one of those. Give us another one. We're going to revert back to how we used to think about you.
At least my team's not going to face a pissed-off team coming up. Hey, the Jets play the Jaguars in week 4. Good luck, boys. You'll need it. You'll get crushed.
Rebound game.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. I will get to the Blast here in a moment. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Teak, I just wanted to get this out there for a sec. I referenced the article that I wrote, right,
yes.
About Tiger Woods. And we linked out a couple of things on our Twitter handle, Teak and Tierney. If you want to go directly to mine, just go to Brandon Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. It's verified, so you'll find it. I want to read three sentences from it to give you a little incentive to read it here. Here's a description everybody can understand. Imagine an individual opening you up from the front, cutting through muscles, ripping through flesh, and temporarily removing certain organs to avoid permanent damage, all while simply trying to get to the source of the pain, the back. Once there, they take a medical tool, we'll call it a metal ladder, a few screws and bolts, and literally drill the metal ladder to the vertebrae. This metal ladder, while limiting your range of motion in terms of twisting and bending, will hopefully prevent the bones from collapsing. Mm. Clearly, this description won't find its way into any medical journals, but trust me, it's on point. That's just a little... Again, it's less about golf, and it's more about the human journey that Tiger Woods and sadly many of us... Now, I thank God, again, I haven't had that, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have, and a lot of people had the microdiscectomy, which I had this summer, and a lot of people, maybe more importantly, are afraid to have surgery. And it's the best thing I've ever done. It's changed my quality of life dramatically. You see how I get around. It's a little different. So if you're thinking about it, if you're scared, by the way, if you want to get me on Twitter about that, I'll get back to you eventually. Read it. It's a good story about golf, but more importantly about the human body and the resilient nature of people. All right, Teak, you ready to blast away before we finish up here with the Monday night game?
Yep, let's go.
Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, here we go. Teak, first up, is tonight's game more important for the Steelers or the Bucks?
This is an easy one. Clearly for the Steelers, uh-huh. they have not won a game yet. They're 0-1-1. There's so many things going around off the actual field that are troubling for the Steelers team. What they need is to get a big win on a big stage against a team that's been one of the hottest in football. So this is definitely bigger for the Steelers.
I totally agree, but I'll give you a different spin just to think about something differently here. How ironic is this? This doesn't really happen like this in sports, where the more success the Bucks have is the way they're currently set up, the more it complicates their world. Eventually, they need to get a real decision on Jameis Winston.
I agree.
But they got to save their behinds and win games with Cutter.
I think it's at least, you're right.
I mean, it's a delicate
balance.
I think
it's at least one more week.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because it's a short week for them.
Yep.
Obviously, they're playing on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a bye week. And so then they'll get a it works out just right.
What if he throws four touchdowns
but
tonight?
The problem is, what happens to that decision? If you have the chance to make the right decision, is it going to be the right? They're in a tough spot.
Man. How concerned are we about Scott Frost at Nebraska? We talked about this the other day. It was actually one of the questions you and I talked. I think it was an inbounds, out-of-bounds question about, you know, who was the game more important to, Jim Harbaugh or Scott Frost? And, you know, just based on the immediacy, and, you know, I think I used the expression that the ink was barely dry on his press release when they announced his hiring in Scott Frost. But so my answer was Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But boy, Teague, that was the kind of loss that zaps the enthusiasm of a fan base. That was embarrassing.
BT, you looked down; it was 30-0.
Yep.
Seriously, it was. They were completely uncompetitive.
It was a mismatch.
A complete mismatch. Now, some of this is on the quarterback. Scott's got a freshman quarterback that's playing. There's still some growth. I don't want to say this is a wash year, but it feels like it. I don't see where positivity comes from this season. They can't score on offense, and they're not stopping anyone on defense. He's got to bring in his guys, more of his type of player, and I don't know if that's going to be easier or harder because he's in a Power 5 conference now, as opposed to trying to get kids to go to, you know, South Florida.
Are they going
to
go 2-9? I mean, is this what we're looking at? They look atrocious.
Maybe worse. Seriously.
Maybe, well, I was going to say 3-8. You're going the other way. Wow. 1-10, 1-11.
They look bad, BT.
They look awful. All right. Hang in there, Nebraska. We'd like to see that thing get going, but right now it's not good. Which quarterback change is more worrisome, Miami, Notre Dame, or Clemson?
So Miami goes from Nkosi Perry from Malik Rozier. Notre Dame goes to Ian Book from Winbush. And the Clemson Tigers go to Trevor Lawrence from Kelly Bryant. I'm going to say the most worrisome one is probably Miami. I think Ian Book is the right move. I think Trevor Lawrence is the right move for Clemson. With Miami, Clemson Perry's he's a freshman, and I don't know what his full upside is.
Okay. It's funny. I look at it, just funny how brains react. Yeah. Like, you see words. We're staring at the same words, but something else triggers. My thought was this. Like, to use the word worrisome, it's like, I'm not worried about Miami because Miami's not winning anything this year, anything big. So I look at it, I'm like,
they came in ranked number 8, BT.
I know, but I'm saying right now.
That was AP poll and it didn't matter. Yeah,
no, Notre Dame is 8 right now and Clemson's top 5. I mean, so if you make the wrong decision, that adversely destroys the season, that if it's navigated right, you could win a championship. Worrisome, I would attach more to Notre Dame and Clemson, and I'd probably say Clemson because I think Notre Dame had to make the move. My answer is Clemson. We'll see how that plays out. All right, the Heat and the Cavs. The Heat and the Cavaliers pursuing Jimmy Butler. What's the better fit for him?
Neither.
You know, I'm going to say the Heat here because the
Heat can't be the Cavs.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, listen, Sexton, Jimmy the quarterback. Listen, if Sexton's the right player from Alabama, you got
Kevin Love. Sexton, by the way.
We all like him. Actually, I love that kid. Yeah. I think he's going to be really good. But what's appealing to me about Miami is that they've had a history of always hitting a reset button by getting marquee players. Mm-hmm. You know, they got Alonzo from the Hornets.
Yeah,
they brought in Shaq. I mean, they've always found a way. So I think if they get Butler with Dragic and some of the other players they have, I think they can get another player to kind of crack the top three at some point.
Let's explore the Cleveland for just a second, BT. Mm-hmm. If he goes to Cleveland, do you see him getting along with Kevin Love?
Why wouldn't you get along with Kevin Love?
I don't know. Their personality seemed just very different.
I think Kevin Love's respected, man. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the general public clowns on him a little bit.
Then why isn't that not then the better fit? If they're going to get along, Kevin Love's going to work his ass. Because that's what Kevin Love play. You know what, Kev? Play 3. Play 4. You know what? Play center this week. Right, he's going to do it.
He's adaptable. He's a team guy.
You know, I think about it. He might actually fit there with a young Sexton, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love. I don't know.
Listen, both teams would be a lot better. Miami gets him better. Cavs better. And he's going to be dealt soon because the owner over the weekend, Taylor, or is it Taylor? Glenn? What's it?
Glenn Taylor. It is Glenn Taylor.
Taylor. He said he wants this thing resolved. Like, he's not going into camp, and he was excused, so he's not going to be on the T-Wolves this year. The Yankees, this is brutal, hidden within the NFL Sunday, likely lose DD for the season and unsure who's going to start the wild card game.
Yeah.
Who starts? We've talked about this a lot, and, you know, Listen, Hap wasn't very good yesterday. Mm-mm. Tanaka got smashed against the Red Sox the last time out.
You're right.
And Severino's been all over the map. I'm gonna go with the guy who's gonna make more swing and or make more people miss.
Who's that?
That's Severino. Now you run the risk of his slider being flat.
Yeah.
Hap is now out of the equation based on what I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
My answer is Severino.
Well, Hap has been consistent for so long after this trade, and he's on regular rest. He's the starter.
You're going to go Hap?
I'm going to go Hap.
Wow, that would take guts on the part of Boone. I don't see him doing that.
Yeah, it would.
Just pick the right guy, Boone, please.
It doesn't matter. Time's up. The blast is over for another
Real
day.
Quick, over under 300 yards, Fitzpatrick tonight. What do you got? Over under. Go.
Over.
Over under 2.5 touchdowns. What do you got?
For
Fitzpatrick. I'm
over.
Sorry.
Over.
Over under. Antonio.
They can't run the ball.
Over under. Antonio Brown, 115 yards receiving.
Under.
Over under one touchdown for AB.
Over. Maybe push.
Who's going to win tonight? I think the Bucks are the better team, man.
Go Bucks, man. I agree with you, though.
I'm not going to overthink this and give it to the logo.
There's a couple of injury issues you got to keep your eye on, but I'm going to say Bucks.
We're both saying Bucks. Steelers, enjoy your win when we do that, right? We'll enjoy the game, as hopefully you will, too. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll see you. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.